The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 11. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. Firehouse Theatre just opened their third one-person show during COVID, Crap's Last Tape by Samuel Beckett, who's considered to be one of the stalwarts of the theatre of the absurd. So I'm visiting here today with Alan Sater, who will be playing Crap in Crap's Last Tape, and James Ricks, who is directing the show. Welcome back to Curtain Call, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So first of all, why Crap's Last Tape? Whose idea was this?
The idea originated with me, and I've talked to Joel about this for at least a couple of years.
Let me interrupt you a second. Joel is Joel Basson, the artistic director of Firehouse. Go ahead.
You know, we talked about it, and there were some concerns about whether or not there would be audience appeal. But then came the pandemic, and the one character shows came up, and we mentioned it again back. I guess we started talking about when we were doing the windshield poems at Firehouse a couple of months ago, and shortly thereafter decided to do it.
So James, how did you get involved directing Crap's Last Tape?
It's kind of an unremarkable story. Joel called me and asked if I would do it.
Uh-huh. Okay. How about Beckett? Are you a big fan of Beckett? Were you looking forward to directing the show?
I'm on, I'd say, pretty intimate terms with the works of Beckett. I'm a longtime fan. I've always been a fan of this show, seen it several times, and I remember reading it, you know, years ago in college, and you know, it really stayed with me. So it's an exciting opportunity, certainly one that I did not think would come around.
So for those who don't know, let's get a little nutshell of what Crap's Last Tape is.
It's a one-man show about a guy who's sort of looking back on his life, not just in his memories, which are sort of failing, but he actually has these tapes of himself every year on his birthday, and he's listening back to his younger self, having to reconcile with a lot of the choices that he made through his life. Like most Beckett, a fairly existential piece, it's also tempered with a lot of really great humor.
I know from reading about it that Crap was technically 69 when he starts listening back to these tapes. So you're in that age range. Did you relate to this as a person of that age, looking back on your own life? And of course, let me just add, you've been in radio and television for many years back in the old days when they had this thing called tape. So you even probably have some old voice demos and some commercials and things from 40 years ago. How was this looking back for you?
When we first started talking together and he asked me about my interest and my understanding about it, there's not much about Mr. Crap that parallels my career. He is a person who has had very little success and a number of failures. Not that I haven't had my successful failures, but he's not a happy man, and I am. I knew nothing about the play. My wife Ann Chenoweth and I saw a production of Crap's Last Tape in Edinburgh at the Fringe Festival 3 years ago. And that was my first time I'd ever seen it. But at that time, I wasn't thinking about doing it either. So I came into this project, frankly, intimidated by the idea of theater of the absurd. And I have to say now, after having worked on it for weeks, we need to revisit our understanding, I think, of the word absurd, because the play isn't, to me, absurd. It's a fairly straightforward examination of a man reviewing his failed and unhappy, although there are highlights, to his life.
You know, most people are probably familiar with Waiting for Godot. How is Crap's different from some of his more familiar work?
You know, a lot of the themes are similar. The big sort of variant is that we're just dealing with this one character. Like Alan said, I mean, I don't find this piece particularly absurd. On the front end of the play, there is a lot of very specific, carefully drawn out physicality. And we've fleshed that out a little bit and made it our own. For the first 30 minutes of this piece, we don't hear anything come out of this guy's mouth. It's sort of the monotony and the routine of his life that we, you know, try to get creative with. It's not a Western theater aesthetic, and I guess that's why it's been given that moniker, which I think is unfortunate, because I think, as Alan said, I mean, it's a very close and detailed scrutiny of what it means to be alive.
The challenge for me was becoming friendly with Beckett, with understanding that this was the story of a man who was of my generation. I don't mean historically, the discovery that occurs normally. I'm not sure I need to call that a challenge. It was a revelation, and it was terrific to do that. And then when James and I would sit at the end and talk about the play, this is a luxury that I don't remember often having. And we share things, and I have huge respect for his knowledge. And to be able to talk these things through and express things and find new things, let's call that the biggest challenge, but it was a challenge that we were able to rise to. It has been a highlight for me of this horrible COVID experience to be able to go to work and do this thing.
The biggest job that we have ahead of us is making sure that, you know, there is no stone unturned in Beckett's language. And there are so many dark corners and nooks and crannies that you need to really comb through and make sure that we're addressing and fully understanding, because I think it's just sort of an endless cavern of clues from the playwright as far as who this guy is and what this world is that he's been living in. Outside of that, I mean, you know, there is this other character on stage, is this reel-to-reel tape machine that Alan interacts with.
Now, let me just interrupt you. Are you actually playing it off tape, or is it back in the booth and you're just, the tape deck is just there?
Well, yeah, the reel-to-reel is real and it works. But yeah, we're doing playback out of the house speakers, and there's communication between Alan and this machine and Grace Brown, who is up in the booth and, you know, making sure that she's on the ball with the starts and stops crap intermittently and sort of sometimes without warning, we'll just stop the tape. And so I don't know. What's that been like for you, Alan?
It's in the script. Yeah. And the precise moment of stopping the tape is, and a word that makes no sense at all, it's just, and I was there. Click. I turn it off. A huge challenge for Grace, who was in a booth 40 feet away from me, is for her to see my finger, because if I get it right, she stops the playback.
Right,
so that's a technical challenge for her. She gets it right more often than I do. But it's, I think we got it right anyway. I think we are on it.
Have y'all got anything you haven't had a chance to discuss or mention that you want to draw out before we finish?
I want to repeat what a huge lift it is to me personally during the pandemic to be able to go to work with a play of this caliber and work with in a theater like this with James, Ricks, and Joel, and Grace and Todd is a huge reward.
I jump on that and reinforce that with my own gratitude that Joel is still producing. One of the things about not having our own space at Quill Theater is that, you know, we're sort of at the mercy of those that we rent from. But working at Firehouse is a great opportunity to keep my muscles moving.
All right. Well, this has been very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the show myself. I've been chatting with Alan Sater, who will be playing Crap in Crap's Last Take, and James Ricks, who is the director. Thank you, guys. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Jerry.
I just wanted to mention that when James mentioned Quill Theater, he's artistic director of that theater, but is a guest director for this production at Firehouse. Crap's Last Tape will run through February 20th, and they'll continue with their contactless theater safety protocols. The show is also available via streaming. Visit the Firehouse website for tickets. On the next Curtain Call, the critics will get a chance to discuss Crap's Last Tape, as well as the new show at Richmond Triangle Players, This Bitter Earth. I'm Jerry Williams from Zifter. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.